Thanks, Terry. Our text is from verse 8, where it calls us to come near to God, and He will come near to us. Beautiful promise. Congregation of Jesus Christ, we are continuing our look at the letter of James and seeking to grow in godly wisdom. And so over the summer month, we have heard about different things that God has spoken to us through His Word. First of all, things like less talking, more listening. Wise to do that. Less proud positioning and more humble doing, an active faith. Be involved, be active. And also a more godly focus on Christ and less worldly human focus. And you see that again here where it talks about God and the world. We want to live wisely. That's as we as Christians seek to be followers of God, followers of Christ. How can we do that wisely and well? And God's word continues to speak that into our lives, to be wise people, wise women, wise men. If you think about it, the Bible continues to give that presentation in many, many areas, the book of Proverbs, but even, say, in the life of Jesus Himself. And even, I just wanted for you to have an image in mind of what that looks like. And if you think about the Christmas story, and you think about the coming of Christ, and then that the wise men came. And that part of the story ties very much into our looking and our thinking about being wise. And what did those wise men do? Those scholars, those people who were aware of many things beyond what we are aware of. It's remarkable as part of the story, they come in all their wisdom, in all their human understanding, and they kneel before the Savior in the manger. And that is true wisdom. That is coming before God and acknowledging His plan, though in every way it made no sense at all. They went to Herod, where is the new king? They went to a stable, found a baby. It was not at all what they expected. But the wisdom of God, beyond our expectations, is to kneel before the Savior. And so as we look at this aspect of wisdom too, will you offer yourself all your attitudes and thoughts about how things should go and might go, and that you would simply receive God's work in Jesus, in your life, in the church, and as the kingdom comes? That's true godly wisdom. A particular aspect of that wisdom is touched on here in James chapter 4. The word from God through His servant James to the people who are scattered. Remember, this letter is written to the scattered believers. They were huddled up in Jerusalem. Even though they'd been told that they were supposed to go from Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth, sharing the good news, they didn't do that. And they were huddled up in Jerusalem, and through the persecution that came, they were forced to go out, and they went out. There were many hardships and uncertainties, but they ended up in new surroundings, and what happened is that fights and quarrels are breaking out. That's what it begins with here in chapter 4. As they go out, they start to have some differences among themselves in terms of those believers who are now in different places. And there's groups of them. And so, okay, now what are they going to do? How are they going to proceed? And there's differences, and so that's there. And then there's also between them and the locals. So they come in from far away, and now they are in a different city, different town. And now what? How do we proceed in terms of our faith, in terms of worship? And so there are disagreements that arise. One example of that is in the book of Acts, where there is discussion in relation to food offered to idols. So these Christians now are in different places, and in these different places there are many pagan gods, and in those worship settings of the pagan gods, animals are offered, food is offered, but then after whatever the central offering is made, there's meat or vegetables or something left over, and that's taken over to the market, and that's just sold, and anybody can buy that and eat that as meat or vegetables. And the discussion is, can you actually do that? Because it's been offered to a pagan idol. And so later, too, in the letter of Romans, Paul comes back to that, and he says, in my faith, I can do that. It's okay, because I have nothing to do with that idol, and it's just meat to me. But he does say, others weak and strong, how do you work that out? And you need to respect each other, and you need to work that out carefully and well, each one as they go forward in faith. So this is the kind of struggle, the kind of fights and quarrels that are arising. And yeah, we have that in terms of living out our faith too. In our culture, sometimes it comes up, for example, sporting events. You want people to be part of a sports, kids and sports, and then sports on Sunday, and then what do you do, and how do you do that? And so we look at that, we reflect on that, and decisions are made, and we work at that carefully together. And so those kind of questionings in the culture as believers, how do we wisely live that out? In working these things out, it does turn out, in terms of the letter of James 2, James 3, verse 18, the last part, the last verse of the previous chapter, calls us to be peacemakers. But it turns out, in fact, James 4, verse 1, we are actually quite prone to fighting and quarrel. That's a reality then, and that also is a reality now in the church and in the community. Did you know that the general perception of the church and of Christians, if you speak, many people you talk to outside the church community, and they will have a perception of the church and of Christians as people who quarrel. That's our reputation. Sad, but true. That's actually the reputation we have. It's a common perception that we are not a community of love and grace and wondrous care, but we are quite picky and quite at each other, fighting and quarreling in churches, between churches, and in the community. And evidence is right there with all the denominations. In the Reformed camp, we have all different, we don't get along terribly well. And then between the Reformed and others too, yeah, we have certain things. We try, we have our combined service, but really, there's this and this and this, and that's how we're perceived. They're just groups of people who don't get along. That's very much a perception. People outside the church, outside the faith, even will say, and I've heard it too, I don't want to be part of that. I have enough problems of my own. I don't need to be involved in, yeah, there's always problems and stuff going on in the church and things, and I don't need to be part of that. And then a certain point, too, can't blame them that they feel that way. That's a very obvious perception. And the witness of Christians and of the church breaks down. And the question is, why does this happen? And that's exactly the question of James 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? That's a great question. We do need to pause and think about that often. Think about what God is saying to us through His Word today. Now, if you think about that question, what causes quarrels and fights among you? The quick answer, I know the answer right away. It's them. They are the problem. That's the quick answer, right? They just are wrong. Or they just, handle themselves in a way that bugs me. They are quite annoying. I don't really like them. They are quite arrogant. Any controversy is someone else's fault. And that goes right back biblically. If you think about it biblically, it goes back to God confronting Adam in the garden. God says to Adam, "We've got a problem here." And Adam right away says, "Oh, it's Eve. It's not my fault. It's Eve." Meanwhile, Adam was wondering too, what about the fact that we can't eat the fruit from that tree? It was totally him too. But right away, her fault. And then she points to the snake, and that's us too. Oh, there's quarrels and fights. It's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. Everyone else's problems. That's a quick answer that doesn't come up here, though, because that's the wrong answer. God's answer in verse 1, it's not them, it's you. What causes quarrels and fights among you? It's not them. It's you. It's me. That's hard to admit. That's a difficult teaching. That sense of just pointing to others and it's their fault. No, there's yourself. It's not the other problem. The problem is within you and me. That's hard, but it is the wisdom of God. And he continues to work it out here in terms of verse 1 and 2. What is eating you? Why are you getting upset? Because things are not going your way? You are getting upset with others. You can decide whether you want to get upset or not, and you let yourself get upset. Why do you do that? Have you really understood deep down that there's something within you? What are your motives, verse 3? Your own feelings of inadequacy, or verse 6, your pride, your pleasure. There is no way we are giving up on certain things. Even if God would say right to us, "Wait a minute, I ask you to give that up." We hold on to things so tightly. And there's even a picture here to the point of praying. Praying to God, I pray to God that things go my way and that I get my way. And God says too, he doesn't answer that. It's not for his glory or the upbuilding of his church or the unfolding of his kingdom. It would be like saying too, God, I don't want Jesus to come like a little helpless baby. He should come as a mighty king and just take over. That's what I would like. And sometimes we kind of live as if Jesus, God, needs to do everything my way and only my way. And that's a huge temptation. He's addressing that attitude, which is really a worldly attitude. I am in charge, and God is far away. So that's the struggle. Deep in our hearts is the place of battle. And godly wisdom helps us to see that. And when things start to upset us, when we feel like arguing and fighting with others, we have to stop. When we project all kinds of untrue and slanderous, verse 11, 12, slandering one another. Well, they're no good. And they even do this. And I even heard that they maybe do this. And I'm so right and they're so wrong. And there's not any truth to that at all. But throw that out because they're the problem and I'm perfect. That attitude, godly wisdom says, stop. In fact, you are quarreling and fighting with God. God, through this letter, directs us to examine our hearts, our own inner desires, and to engage in some real spiritual reflection. Just sit down, just with yourself, with your Bible, prayerfully with God. Say, why am I feeling this way? Why am I getting so upset? When we do that, then, beautifully in verse 5, it explains what's going on deep inside. I love verse 5. It says, the scriptures say without reason that God envies, the Spirit envies. The Spirit God caused to live in us envies that we would be close to God. That we would live rightly before Him. That's the desire of the Holy Spirit in us. And God is so close to us that He sent the Spirit to live in us at Pentecost. It says here that Spirit longs, that the Spirit envies, wants us to turn from serving ourselves, a very narrow view, and to see all that God is doing and just to embrace that, turning us from ourselves to God. It's hard for us to do. We are so caught up in ourselves and our preferences, not really interested in all that God wants. But this call is the work of God's grace, verse 6. Amazing. As we struggle with things, as we wonder about things, God gives us more grace. You would think He would cut us off, but He doesn't. By His grace, He continues to work in us, weak human beings, in churches that are all kinds of uncertainties and weaknesses. God continues to give us more grace, and we need to stand amazed in that. That's for sure. He wants to be near us, verse 8. He wants to draw us nearer to Him. I wonder if you've ever had it where you wanted to be close to someone in the family or someone, and they pushed you away. That hurts so much. If you want to be near a loved one, but they really have no desire to be near to you. God desires to be near to you. That's His desire. And in that, His heart yearns. He calls us to surrender ourselves, verses 7 to 10, the Ten Commandments, to let Him come near to us. It's like Enoch who walked with God every day, just walking with God every day, a close walk with God. What does that do? That brings peace. That draws down the anger that makes us open to God who is actually working in situations that definitely may upset us at times and situations that we don't see exactly how it's all going to work out, but that we recognize God is at work. And deep in our hearts, we know, we trust God's presence. That our spiritual life becomes rich and satisfying as we walk in the way of peace. As we don't slander others, as we talk with others, and we can talk about difficult things with people. We can talk about issues. We can talk things through in a peaceful, respectful, God-centered way. It's very easy to break things down, and that's what was happening here. Things were breaking down. People were getting angry and getting after each other. It's difficult to build things up. That's really challenging. But when you build on Jesus, the cornerstone, then you're building rightly. Jesus as my Lord and Savior, Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we have so much in common. We should be able to work things out. We should be able to be a witness of oneness in Christ. The wonder of God's amazing grace coming near to us is evident in the gospel. Jesus himself came from heaven, came to earth to be with us, Emmanuel. And Jesus, after he ascended, he sent the Spirit to be in us so we would be near to God. Our response is to seek to draw near to him. He wants to be near to you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we see the truth of your word again, displayed in your love to us in Jesus Christ, and displayed, Lord Jesus, in your love for us by sending the Spirit, and that you constantly want to draw us closer to you, that we would walk near to you every day is our prayer. Lord, we pray that in this world that constantly tries to draw us away, that you would draw us nearer, Lord Jesus, that you would shield our soul from sin, guard, be the guardian of our way. Lord, we pray that as we take hold more and more of that knowledge, the assurance that you do want to enter in more fully, that you are also the one who will lift us up, give us hope and peace and assurance in whatever situation we face. And again today, to remind us and encourage us that you are there and that you continue to be our trust every day. Hear our prayer. Draw us near. In Jesus we pray. Amen.